RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo to hold cabinet meeting on trans issue. Defense and Foreign Affairs Minister to meet in Japan and Australia. Minister Yohana calling on people to reduce mother mortality rate. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo will hold a limited cabinet meeting to discuss waste management on Monday afternoon at the presidential office. Jakarta administration is currently seeking technology capable of treating up 6,500 tons of garbage it produces daily. At present, the capital fully depends on Bantar Gebang Garbage Treatment Facility in Bekasi West Java. According to Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama, the city administration has prepared an area in Bogor, 50 km outside the capital city, to be used as a final trash disposal site, as a short-term solution for handling trash from the city. In the long term, Basuki Cahayapurnama added, his office would cooperate with city-managed market in Jakarta to establish trash management system at each individual market. Indonesian defense and foreign affairs officials will sit down with Australian and Japanese counterparts in two separate meetings this month to discuss major security and political issues affecting bilateral relations. Each country will be represented by its respected foreign affairs and defense ministers. Foreign Affairs Minister spokesperson Armanata Nasir said the Japan meeting will be held December 17th and the meeting with the Australian representative will take place on December 21st. The meetings will be hosted by foreign officials. The meeting also discussed 3 points of issues such as regional global and bilateral issues, we said at the weekly press conference at the Miss office in Jakarta recently. Regional issues will be mainly discussed, political and regional security issues, namely growing concern regarding the South China Sea dispute and terrorist threats, and radicalization stemming from Middle East conflicts. Armanata signals particular interest in discussing climate change with Australia, focusing on response and contribution of Pacific countries. Indonesian Women Empowerment and Child Protection Minister Yohana Yambisa called on all elements of the nation to take part in reducing maternal mortality rate and the number of early marriages. Indonesian people have to continue struggling to reduce maternal mortality rate and early marriages in accordance with the mandate from the women at the Indonesian Women Congress. Minister Yohana said during a healthy work event adopting the theme Ibu Sehat Indonesia Sehat or Healthy Mothers Healthy Indonesia. Minister Wan also said that mother mortality rate in Indonesia was still relatively high. According to her, data from the 2012 Indonesian Demographic and Health Survey, SDGA, shows that there were 359 maternal deaths per 100,000 live births last year, compared to 228 deaths per 100,000 live births in 2007. Therefore, the minister urged all stakeholders, the government, the people, women organizations, community organizations, religious organizations, business world, and men as a husband to reduce mother mortality rate and early marriages. The Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency, BMKG, estimates today on Monday, December 7th, the weather in Jakarta and its surroundings will be bright, only areas in North Jakarta is forecasted to rain with medium intensity. Meanwhile, Seribu Island is predicted to rain this morning. However, it will be cold during noon and night. South Jakarta, Central Jakarta, East Jakarta, and Tangerang are predicted to rain with medium intensity. North Jakarta and West Jakarta will experience light intensity of rainfall at daytime. Areas in Bogan Depot will be hit by heavy rain at noonday. Jakarta and Tangerang Bekasi are expected to experience light intensity of rainfall tonight. The agency said also today's temperature will be between 23 to 33 degrees Celsius with the humidity ranging between 79-96%. Danish pop rock group Michael and Stuart MLRTR is again holding a concert in Indonesia next year. Mary Gop Studio announced on its press release that Jessica Richard, Michael Lenz, and Kerr Wenser will be rocking Jakarta Subayan Solo starting from February 11 to 15. The interest of Indonesian music towards MLRTR is still high. The last year's concert, a second concert, was crowded by audiences and most then have asked to extend the concert to the other city Indonesia, Sani Hacharni, managing director Mary Gop Studio, said. MLRTR has just released a new single entitled I'll Wait For You in November. MLRTR will be performing at Elite Hotel Ballroom Solo in February 11, the Casablanca Hall, Kota Casablanca in February 13, and the Grand City Convention Hall in Surabaya February 15th. The last item is Java Disaster Mitigation Agency has raised the alert level, as you say, for Mount Bromo to level 3 on Friday, December 4, 2015, predicting that an eruption will likely occur within the next 2 weeks. A Bromo Tengger Semeru National Park official said recently in Pasuruan, East Java. Tourists are now forbidden to come within 2.5 kilometers of the volcano's crater as recommended by the Center for Volcanology and Geological Hazard Mitigation, said Park Director Ayu Dewi Utari. The agency stopped short of using an evacuation despite witness accounts of thicker ash clouds spewing out of the volcano and increasing magnitude in tremors. Now it is still safe for visitors if they keep a distance of 2.5 kilometers from Mount Bromo. The Center for Volcanology and Geological Hazard Mitigation Officer Suban said. The 2,329-meter volcano is one of East Java's main tourist attractions. It last erupted in January 2011, shooting thick clouds of volcanic ash and forcing domestic and international airlines to ground their planes. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, coming up next, here is our today's commentary entitled Indonesian Delegation in OPEC Sessions Must Consist of Competent Figures. Listener, Indonesia is officially active again as a member of the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, or OPEC. The 168th OPEC session, which took place in Vienna, Austria on December 4, 2015, officially accepted the reactivation of Indonesia as a member of the Organization of Oil Exporting Countries. Indonesia first joined OPEC in 1962 and was the only member from Asia for nearly 50 years before leaving the group in early 2009. Indonesia even became chairman of OPEC when Professor Subroto was the Minister of Mines. The decision to get out of OPEC was taken because at the time, Indonesia was more an oil importer rather than exporter. Besides, the price of oil at the time reached a record high and had a negative impact on the position of Indonesia, which is also at the same time an oil importer. The return of Indonesia to OPEC means the number of OPEC members is now 13 countries. OPEC gladly accepted the return of Indonesia because it is considered to bring great benefits to the organization, although no major impact related to the allocation of oil production. At the first benefit, for OPEC, the return of Indonesia means increasing the range of demographic member countries because Indonesia is the only OPEC member country in Asia. The shift in OPEC policy related to the effort to enlarge its market share makes the inclusion of Indonesia a positive thing that is in line with the policy direction. The second benefit, Saudi Arabia as the main OPEC member country supports the inclusion of Indonesia because it would have a good effect politically. While for Indonesia, as expressed by the Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Sudirman Said, as a member of OPEC, Indonesia will have the opportunity to establish cooperation with oil exporting countries of the world, as well as to understand and be directly involved in the determination of OPEC policy. In addition, with the status as an oil exporter and at the same time also importer, understanding market data and issues surrounding oil market will be a great help in making a better national planning. Another advantage for Indonesia as a member of OPEC is that in terms of foreign policy diplomacy, Indonesia may obtain greater support from others when in trouble. Various advantages by becoming a member of OPEC need to be fully utilized by Indonesia. To that end, the government needs to choose competent figures to represent the country as the Indonesian delegation at OPEC sessions. They should have experience and expertise in the oil and gas sector, smart in negotiation and interaction, and shrewd in looking for opportunities to acquire blocks of potential oil in OPEC countries. If the Indonesian delegation doesn't consist of competent figures, then Indonesia's membership in OPEC certainly will not bring many benefits to the country. And listener, that was commentary today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, meet again with me, Ania Sana, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We start from an event on December 7, 1959, when Aceh received a special status. Aceh is a special region of Indonesia. The territory is located at the northern end of Sumatra. Its capital is Banda Aceh. It is close to the Andaman and Nicobar Islands of India and separated from them by the Andaman Sea. There are 10 indigenous ethnic groups in this region, the largest being the Acehese people, accounting for approximately 80 to 90% of the region's population. Aceh is thought to have been the place where the spread of Islam in Indonesia began and was a key factor of the spread of Islam in Southeast Asia. Islam reached Aceh, or kingdoms of Fansur and Lamuri, around 1250 AD. In the early 17th century, the Sultanate of Aceh was the most wealthy, powerful, and cultivated state in the Malacca Straits region. Aceh has a history of political independence and resistance to control by outsiders, including the former Dutch colonists and the Indonesian government. Aceh received special status on December 7, 1959, 3 years after the re-establishment in 1956 and 10 years since the establishment of the first 1949 privileged status granted to Aceh by the decree of the Prime Minister of the Republic of Indonesia, No. 1/Mission/1959, whose contents include religious privileges, customary and education. And the next event was in 1995 when Galileo arrived at Jupiter. Galileo was an unmanned spacecraft that studied the planet Jupiter and its moons, as well as several other solar system bodies. Named after the astronomer Galileo Galilei, it consisted of an orbiter and anti-probe. It was launched on October 18, 1989, carried by Space Shuttle Atlantis on the STS-34 mission. Galileo arrived at Jupiter on December 7, 1995 after gravitational axis Phoebus. after gravitational Aziz Flybys of Venus and Earth and became the first spacecraft to orbit Jupiter. It launched the first probe into Jupiter directly. It launched the first probe into Jupiter directly measuring its atmosphere. Despite suffering major antenna problems, Galileo achieved the first asteroid flyby of 951 Gaspra and discovered the first asteroid moon, Dactyle, around 243 Ida. In 1984, Galileo observed comet Shoemaker-Levy 9's collision with Jupiter. The spacecraft was an international effort by the United States of America and the Federal Republic of Germany. And the last event was in 2004 when Hamid Karzai was sworn as President of Afghanistan. Hamid Karzai served as President of Afghanistan for almost 10 years, from December 7, 2004 to September 29, 2014. He comes from a politically active family. In the 1980s, Karzai was active as a fundraiser of the Afghan Mujahideen who were fighting to expel Soviet Union troops during the Soviet War in Afghanistan from 1979 to 1989. After the Soviet withdrawal, the Islamic State of Afghanistan was established and then it was replaced in 1996 when the Taliban came to power and established the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan. In July 1999, Karzai's father was assassinated and Karzai succeeded his father as head of the Popalzai tribe. In October 2001, the American invasion of Afghanistan began and Karzai became a dominant political figure after the removal of the Taliban regime in late 2001. During the December 2001 International Conference on Afghanistan in Germany, Karzai was selected by prominent Afghan political figures to serve a six-month term as chairman of the interim administration. He was then chosen for a two-year term as interim president during the 2002 Loya Jirga or Grand Assembly that was held in Kabul, Afghanistan. After the 2004 presidential election, Karzai was declared winner and became president of the Islamic Republic of Afghanistan. He won a second five-year term in 2009 presidential election. This term ended in September 2014. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events. This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. For today's edition, it's on time, the government of Indonesia declares the power of land, so stay tuned. Listener, the year 2015 has been designated as the International Year of Soils, or IYS, under the theme Healthy Soils for a Healthy Life. It was declared at the 68th United Nations General Assembly on December 5, 2014. The Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations was nominated to implement the IYS 2015 within the framework of the Global Soil Partnership in the collaboration with governments and Secretariat of the United Nations Convention to Combat Desertification. The International Year of Soils 2015 aims to increase awareness and understanding of the importance of soil for food security and essential ecosystem functions. It is also based on the reality that one-third of the soils in the world has been damaged or degraded due to deforestation, erosion, ground cover, and urban expansion, pollution, climate change, and other processes caused by unsustainable land management practices. These conditions put the soils in unhealthy and dangerous status. In fact, this is closely related to agriculture, food security, and a healthy environment. Soil degradation threatens the soil's capacity to meet human needs for present and future generations. Head of Cooperation of the Bureau of Science and Technology Socialization, Indonesian Institute of Sciences or LIPI, Bugi Sujatmiko Eko Cahyono, to LRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, recently said that many farms were converted into houses, buildings, factories, and so forth, so that in general, the agricultural land in Indonesia has been much reduced in quantity and quality. Science and technology can be a solution to overcome these problems by conducting various research in developing superior varieties of rice seeds that are resistant to drought and soil pollution.
Ada juga padi misalnya yang ditanam untuk daerah kering, jadi nggak ada airnya juga nggak apa-apa.
There is rice which can be planted in dry areas, so although there isn't much water, it is no problem. Many rice fields have also been polluted. Then, with the technology, we can create rice varieties resistant to pollution, like oil, for example. There is also a flood-resistant rice variety, so if it is submerged for 1 month, 2 months continuously, it doesn't die. There will be no crops failure. Bugi Sujatmiko aided LIPI, or the Indonesian Institute of Sciences, has also developed fertilizer, bioprocessing technology, and food engineering. For example, LIPI has cooperated with local government of Wonogiri and have produced 13 tons of rice per hectare with fertilizers of LIPI research results, where usually 1 hectare of land produces only 5 to 6 tons of rice. He also said Indonesian researchers are highly productive in creating an innovative system of land quality improvement and food production. Meanwhile, in another context, head of the Laboratory Agrohydrology of Gajah Mada University, Anjal Ani Asmara, to Era Rewal Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Saturday, December the 5th, said that there should be institutions like the FAO to start a movement to keep the soil as the source of life for billions of people on Earth. Anjal Ani Asmara also stressed that it is time for Indonesia to launch the Power of Land movement that was done by Thailand.
Harus ada satu moment, satu awal, yaitu tahun ini diawali.
There must be a moment, a beginning this year, and this is something good. There must be a start, and it is quite different that to that of our neighboring country, Thailand. They were already aware 10 of years ago, so they launched the Power of Land. How it has strategic power, which is very strong. Now look, what can we do if our land is already marginal, already poor in nutrients, cannot be planted, while every day billions of people around the world need to eat, and all have to be produced, not in the sea. It can only be produced on the land. So let us keep this land. I agree with this FAO movement. Furthermore, Anjal Ani Asmara explained, it is no longer the time for the government to do the conversion of quality land that was originally used to grow rice, but in the end it was planted with concrete pillars. According to him, the government must have either the desire or a political will to issue regulations for the people of Indonesia that some particular soil cannot be converted and it is non-negotiable. With the declaration of 2015 as the International Year of Soils, FAO has attempted to campaign the importance of protecting soils from degradation, educate and increase public awareness of the importance of maintaining the health of the soil. FAO also urged decision makers or world leaders to develop policies and effective measures to protect soil resources and sustainable land management. And listener, that was Focus for today. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with today's headlines taken from several national dailies published today, Monday, December 7, 2015. We start from Kompas Daily, which in its headlines writes, "The new era of local democracy full of challenges." Listener, simultaneous regional held election on December 9, 2015 is a new era of local democracy in Indonesia. However, the readiness of political parties is assumed to be the biggest challenge for the smooth, effective, and efficient simultaneous elections. The simultaneous local elections will be held on Wednesday in 9 provinces, 36 cities, and 224 regencies. And based on data from the General Election Commission KPU, at least 829 pairs of candidates will participate in the elections, contesting more than 100 million voters to be the regional heads and deputy heads. Of the 829 pairs of candidates, 690 pairs are nominated by political parties or coalition of political parties, and 139 pairs are from independent or individuals. This number may still increase due to unresolved candidacy disputes. Media Indonesia meanwhile writes, Houses Honorary Council MKD do not beat around the bush. The continuation of Court of Honorary Supreme Council or MKD of House of Representatives today is scheduled to present House Speaker Setia Novanto. In today's hearing, the council will ask to move quickly to resolve the case of alleged profiteering name of President Joko Widodo and Vice President Yusuf Kalla done by the House Speaker. Moreover, the whole substance of the case has been inferred after President Director of PT Freeport Indonesia, Maruf Samsudin, testified last week. An observer from the University of Indonesia, Bonnie Hargens, asked the council no longer rambling by asking questions that are far from the substance. According to Bonnie, based on explanation from the plaintiff and witness, there are violations of ethics committed by Setia Novanto. He also hoped the Honorary Council would immediately decide the case before the Parliament enters recess next December 19. A member of Commission 3 of the Nasdem Party, Taufikul Hadi, also sees that from the testimony of the plaintiff and the Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources, Sudirman Said, it has been proven that Maruf has done ethical violations. According to him, to decide the judicial ethics does not need to gather evidence as complex as civil or criminal court case. And we end today's headline with Koran Tempo, which writes Luhut is dragged in Freeport broker case. Oil tycoon M. Riza Khalid and House Speaker Setia Novanto will face the shackles of a number of chapters in the broker scandal of PT Freeport Indonesia. Riza and Novanto are thought to initiate a meeting with President Director of PT Freeport Indonesia, Maruf Samsudin. In the meeting, the two requested the allotment of shares to profiteer name of President Joko Widodo and Vice President Yusuf Kalla. The court was investigating the role of Riza and Novanto. Deputy Attorney General for Special Crimes Armin Shah said the team was also able to use Article 55 of the Criminal Justice Act to ensnare those who involved in the case. Armin Shah could not say when investigators will summon Riza and Novanto. And listener, that's headlines.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. Indonesian President Joko Widodo will hold a limited cabinet meeting to discuss waste management on Monday afternoon at the President's office. Jakarta Minister is currently seeking technology capable of treating the 6,500 tons of garbage it produces daily. Indonesian's defense and foreign affairs officials will sit down with Australian and Japanese counterparts in two separate meetings this month to discuss major security and political issues affecting bilateral relations. Indonesian Women Empowerment and Child Protection Minister Yohana Yembise called on all elements of the nation to take part in reducing maternal mortality rate and the number of early marriages. The Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency BNKG estimate today on Monday, December 7, the weather in Jakarta and its surrounding will be bright. Only some areas in North Jakarta is forecasted to rain with medium intensity. Dennis Poprod Group, Michael and Stewart, MRTR, is going to hold a concert in Indonesia next year. Mary Gop Studios announced on its press release that Jessica Richard, Michael Lenz, and Kare Wenzel will be rocking Jakarta, Surabaya, and Seoul starting from February 11 to 15. East Java's Disaster Mitigation Agency has raised the alert level for Mount Bromo to level 3 on Friday, 4th December 2015, predicting that an eruption will likely occur within the next 2 weeks. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder, and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder. Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit Yogyakarta province to taste its culinary called Tumini Chicken Noodle or Mie Ayam Tumini, so stay tuned. Now, we can make various kinds of foods with noodle. One of them is chicken noodle, or in Indonesia, popularly known as mie ayam. Chicken noodle is an Indonesian food made from boiled yellow noodle and poured with typical sauce, chicken meat, and vegetable. Chicken noodle is sometimes aided with meatballs, dumplings, and mushrooms. Even though it doesn't originally come from Indonesia, chicken noodle becomes one of favorite foods in Indonesia. This food is usually sold by street vendors using carts on the side of the roads up to 5-star restaurants. Chicken noodle can be found easily in every region, surely with its own taste. If you visit Yogyakarta, you will find chicken noodle with unique and delicious taste. It is Tumini chicken noodle. Due to its delicious taste, this chicken noodle is very much searched and enjoyed by many local and foreign tourists. Chicken noodle or Mie Ayam Tumini has quite big size poured with thick brownish sauce. The sweet savory sauce comes from chicken cooking process which is used for the topping. When you taste this chicken noodle, the chewy taste of the noodle will fit with the sweet savory sauce. It tastes more delicious if aided with chili sauce. Of many stalls which sell chicken noodle in Yogyakarta, Mie Ayam Tumini or Tumini Chicken Noodle stall is quite popular. Located on Jalan Imogiri Timur, Umbul Harjo, Yogyakarta, or precisely at the north of the gateway of Giwangan Terminal, this stall is always crowded with customers. This stall has opened since 1990s. The good taste and its own characteristic makes Tumini chicken noodle can survive until now. At Tumini chicken noodle stall, you can only order noodles with many variants. There are chicken noodle with claws, jumbo chicken noodle with extra chicken, and chicken noodle with collards. And you don't have to worry about the price, because it is quite cheap. So, what are you waiting for? Come to Imogiri, Yogyakarta to taste Mie Ayam Tumini or Tumini chicken noodle. that was Indonesian Wonder for today. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa. Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Menjenguk Teman di Rumah Sakit, which in English means visiting a friend in hospital. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice slowly, and you can repeat after me. Menjenguk. Menjenguk, which means to visit. Teman. Teman, which means friend. Kemana. Kemana, which means where. Sore. Sore, which means afternoon. Rumah sakit. Rumah sakit, which means hospital. Kemarin. Kemarin, which means yesterday. Dia. Dia, which means he or she. Melahirkan. Melahirkan, which means to give birth. Bayi laki-laki. Bayi laki-laki, which means baby boy. Tahu. Tahu, which means to know. Nama. Nama, which means name. Lantai lima. Lantai lima, which means fifth floor. Kamar sepuluh. Kamar sepuluh, which means room 10. Jam besuk. Jam besuk, which means visiting hours. Jam lima sore. Jam 5 sore, which means 5 p.m. Jam 7 malam. Jam 7 malam, which means 7 p.m. Bertemu. Bertemu, which means to meet. Now we give you an example of conversation entitled Menjenguk Teman di Rumah Sakit, or in English means visiting a friend in hospital. The conversation is between A. Nita and B. Ani in front of the house. A. Nita, kamu mau kemana sore ini? Kamu mau kemana sore ini? Which means, where are you going this afternoon? B. Ani, saya mau menjenguk teman di rumah sakit. Saya mau menjenguk teman di rumah sakit. Which means, I want to visit my friend in the hospital. Kemarin, dia melahirkan bayi laki-laki. Kemarin, dia melahirkan bayi laki-laki. Which means, she gave birth a baby boy yesterday. A. Nita, apakah kamu sudah tahu nama rumah sakitnya? Apakah kamu sudah tahu nama rumah sakitnya? Which means, do you know the name of the hospital? B. Ani, ya, rumah sakit harapan kita, lantai 5, kamar 10. Ya, rumah sakit harapan kita, lantai 5, kamar 10. Which means, yes, I do. Harapan kita hospital, at the fifth floor, room 10.
jam besuknya mulai jam 5 sampai jam 7 malam. Jam besuknya mulai jam 5 sampai jam 7 malam. Which means the visiting hours begin at 5 p.m. until 7 p.m. B. Ani. Baiklah, kalau begitu kita bertemu jam 5 di lobi rumah sakit ya. Baiklah, kalau begitu kita bertemu jam 5 di lobi rumah sakit ya. Which means, so, we'll meet at the hospital lobby at 5 p.m., okay? Listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thank you for your attention. And see you. Sampai jumpa. Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment introducing you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. Today's edition will introduce you to an Indonesian kroncong singer, Ismanto. To initiate the segment of today's music corner, let's enjoy the song entitled Sapu Tangan by Ismanto.
Sapu tangan yang harum bahunya menawan hatiku. Basah air mataku karena datangnya tangisku. Sapu tangan yang dulu ku terima dari kekasihku, pada masa dahulu berdua pertama bertemu. Penuh dengan rencana dan janji telah disetujui, meskipun bagaimana terjadi sehidup semati. Sapu tangan di waktu sekarang bagai puranku, karena kekasihku sekarang tinggalkan diriku. Thank you.
Listener, the song Saputangan, composed by Gesang, is the song tells about a handkerchief as a memento from beloved girl or man. It has become memories since the love story has broke up. The song is an original Kroncong song which was nicely sung by Ismanto. Although there have no achievements during his career in music, Ismanto has successfully dedicated the Kroncong music and can be enjoyed by people, especially those who love Kroncong music. Ismanto has released a golden album that consisted some songs, such as Setia Janjiku, Cincin Pertama, Jauh di Mata, Dekat di Hati, and Bumi Emas Tanah Airku. Well, listener, now let's listen to the next song entitled Sedap Malam by Ismanto.
Langit biru, bintang berkilauan menghiasi alam permai malam sunyi. Sedap malam semerbak mengharu, merata rasa seluruh, menghambar wangi sedap malam, pujaan setiap insan, merata rasa seluruh mengharum mahu.
terang cuaca, langit biru, bintang berkilauan, menghiasi alam permai malam sunyi.
The song Sedap Malam that you have just listened tells about the natural beauty that brings happiness to those who can enjoy it and grateful to the Creator. The beauty of a peaceful night is getting more complete with the scent of tuberose flower or Sedap Malam flower. Nice rhythm of the song and a good vocal of Ismanto is able to dedicate the message of the song to the music lovers, especially those who love Kranchang music. Well, listener, it's time for us to conclude today's music corner in Kranchang music with the last song entitled Kranchang Suci by Ismanto. Enjoy the song and see you again with other music presentation in the segment of Music Corner. Bye for now.
Yang berdiri
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VOI Indonesia.